Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategy, or RAPS, is the local response to a pilot project to put together a comprehensive watershed plan for the North Shore. And to this end, Cook County Soil and Water has assembled an advisory committee to research and report on various features of our watershed area. And we've got the watershed expert with us this morning. That would be Karen Evans with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency in Duluth. Good morning, Karen.
Yeah, good morning, Jay. That's quite an introduction.
When I write things down, I sound pretty good, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, Karen, you and I have exchanged emails over the last couple of weeks on this. And so, first of all, you're with the, an interesting office, Watershed Division. So what is the water? First of all, tell me what Watershed Division does at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and then give me an idea of what we're doing here.
Okay, so in the past, we had been focused more on restoration of problem water resources. So you probably heard about the work we did with the Poplar River folks.
Right, mm-hmm.
And so that has been an emphasis with my division for a while. But then more recently, in order to work smarter and more efficiently, we've shifted our approach to working at this larger watershed scale. So in the past, instead of working, you know, more or less piecemeal, either lake by lake or stream section by stream section, we partnered up with other agencies and also with other divisions inside the MPCA to sort of pool our resources and work collaboratively, collecting the data we needed to assess at a scale of a large watershed, incorporate all the data we need for, you know, these more smaller geographies like individual lakes or mm-hmm. these smaller units of stream areas. And then at the end of this work, put together some sort of an overall strategic report that would incorporate restoration work as well as some suggestions for protection work going forward.
Well, now, when we talk about this the larger watershed, what are we talking about exactly?
Well, for Lake Superior North, we're talking about a general boundary that reaches from approximately Manitou River, Baptism River, mm-hmm. all the way up to the Pigeon River. And then if you go inward into the forest, you go up to approximately where the boundary exists at the edge of Gunflint Lake, and then kind of come across diagonally, sloping sort of to the south, what would that be, southwesterly.
Right.
So it's a fairly, you know, large geography, incorporates a lot of the developed areas of Cook County and a portion of Lake County, and then reaches up into some of the more developed lake areas like the Mid-Gunflint Trail and, as far northward on the Caribou Trail is Tate Lake, up to Sawbill Lake, some of the lakes up the Kramer Road. So that kind of gives you the geography of the area that we're talking about.
Well, now, when we're talking about a watershed like this, we're talking about where water flows, and it all comes downhill, right?
Correct. And so, you know, you have to sort of, in your mind, scale up or scale down. So some folks might be thinking about, well, you know, I live on this lake, and I'm concerned about what's flowing into this lake.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be your more immediate watershed around the lake, the lake shed.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can also think about, for example, Poplar. If you go all the way up to the top of that watershed, you're in a few of the lakes that are inside the National Forest, but then you're at Clara Lake and Tate Lake. And come down the Caribou Trail, you've got Christine and White Pine and a lot of little streams that flow into Poplar. Come all the way down, you've got Caribou Lake, Barker Lake. And then you've got kind of the main stem of Poplar that we think about as flowing through Lutzen itself. And then attached to that, we have all these little tributaries interconnecting all these lakes. So that's what I mean by you can scale up or scale down when you think about the watershed scale.
Well, now, what are we finding? I mean, what are we looking for exactly? I know you talked earlier about the Poplar River, and I know turbidity is one of the things that was of concern there, as there is in the Flute Reed. But what's the condition of the watershed, and what are you finding?
Well, I'd say overall we have, you know, our watersheds are in relatively good condition. We do have a few lakes where we're seeing some of the higher phosphorus numbers. In the lakes, that's what we're concerned about more so, because that's an indicator of productivity. And productivity is usually what we're concerned about in terms of algae blooms and the longevity of the lake. So those higher numbers, you know, we've had a few in the past, the caribou, although caribou has been making a lot of progress with some activities around the lake to bring that phosphorus number down.
Mm-hmm.
On some of the more shallow lakes, we have a few that are, you know, not approaching, certainly not approaching an impairment number, but a little bit higher. And once we put all this data together in a spreadsheet, it will really be helpful for people to look at it and make some decisions about how they might want to be managing these areas. And I know that's something that the Cook County offices, both with planning and zoning and with the Soil and Water Office, you know, have put together management plans. I know the planning and zoning is looking again at their land use management. And so it's a good time to have all this data. Now, in the streams, we've been looking at also the biological health. So along with the chemistry components that you mentioned, for example, the total suspended solids or turbidity, mm-hmm. we're also looking at things like temperature and dissolved oxygen that would reflect on fish health and also on macroinvertebrate health. We've got some streams where we're also looking at the flow, so we're getting a sense of what's the typical hydrology through these either larger streams or these smaller streams, and especially with some of the type of changes in precipitation patterns that we've seen lately. And then we're also recording fish species and macroinvertebrate species, and those can be incorporated into what's called an index of biological integrity, which is a scoring system, much like water quality standards, but this would be for biological health standards. So all of that will be put together into a report, and again, that will help us going forward with management. And it will also tell us if we are, you know, not meeting our standards in some locations. For example, we do have the Flute Reed River. It still is impaired mm-hmm. for turbidity, and we'll have to do a project on that river.
Well, how does all of this, trickle down into Lake Superior?
Lake Superior, well, yeah, that's kind of the place that it all ends up. Right now, we don't have any particular project going on specifically on Lake Superior, although I do know that the University of Minnesota is looking at the shoreline. So they're looking at some of the impacts, I believe, of nearshore algae and also nearshore habitat. So our upland studies or input studies, you know, might be helpful as a sort of a connecting linkage to the information that they're gathering. And at the same time, we do have data being collected at the mouth of all the major rivers. So we will have some fishery data where we'll be looking at species that are using both the Big Lake and these rivers for part of their habitat. So mm-hmm. I think that will be helpful information. And I should also say that our other agency partners, like DNR, have been doing quite a bit of work, too. I know Steve Persons had a recent announcement indicating all the various lakes that they'll be working on, but they also have a very large project that they do with Lake Superior. So they have a Lake Superior Fisheries Management Program well.
I know that I was at a conference a couple, 3 years ago, and there's been, like, over the last 20 years, there have been aerial photos taken of the shoreline, shoreline development. And it has really increased a considerable amount. Does that, how does that impact, or is that out of your purview?
Well, certainly for any of the work that we're doing, I think that's going to be one of the discussions we have once we have all the data together. And we can look at the array of, you know, where the numbers shake out. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about that in terms of what is some of the management that we should be striving for going forward. And I know when we looked at the poplar, for example, and I know Flute Reed has been doing this recently too, you know, we've been looking at all of those various factors. How is it related to perhaps the natural condition of the watershed, the type of soils that are there, the type of topography, other characteristics of the watershed we might be working with, but then what's our imprint on top of it, and how do we get better at living within the watershed and creating less impact to the resources. So, for example, at Poplar, we did a lot of work with looking at compacted soils, you know, the variability on the ski runs. Some runs had more compaction due to the way that they were originally built versus later building techniques that they used. Some of the ways that the development had been interlinked showed that we had some storm flow patterns when we had heavy rains that were contributing to some difficulties with a little bit of rilling or gullying type of impacts on the soils. So those, I think, will be good discussions after we have all this data and can, you know, decide do we think this is an area that we really want to put some additional work into and do some improvements to.
Well, Karen Evans, it's pretty important stuff because we all are here because of the water, and we're all part of the watershed. And, of course, Lake Superior is a big area of interest for us here at WTIP as well. So it sounds
If I could just say thanks to everybody who's been working on this, because we've had a lot of citizen volunteers. That 3/8 cent sales tax has been allowed us to develop these tools and put these packages together so that this data is more accessible online. And that means to everyone, you know, when broadband is up there, there's a lot of information that's going to be available in our various data sets online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, big thanks to everybody who's been a participant in this.
Well, and what comes to mind are the lake associations and all the work that they've been doing here with local soil and water.
Yeah, we couldn't get this data collected if it weren't for citizen scientists.
Okay.
A big part of the work.
Okay, we've been speaking with Karen Evans. She's with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Watershed Division office in Duluth. Thank you very much, Karen. Good information.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave, for the call. Enjoy the day.
Okay.